Good morning. I'll call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Please sign all cell phones. The time is 9:00 on Friday, February 23rd, 2024. We are joined by Senator Bishop, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick, and we also have Senator Stedman online, and Senator Wilson will be back shortly. We have one item on our agenda today, and that's the Senate Joint Resolution 14, Seafood Industry Competitiveness by Senator Bishop. This is our first hearing. Senator Bishop, you want to go ahead and present what we have available?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Finance Committee, and those that are online.
Good morning.
SJR 14, and I have promised my staff, you folks know how I can get sometimes when I have a written document in front of me and can go off script, but not this time. This is a very important issue facing Alaska, and I'm going to stay right to my bullet points. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm ready to roll, if you're ready to go.
Go for it.
SJR 14, Alaska's seafood industry is a vital part of Alaska's economy, benefiting fishermen, coastal communities, plant workers, and the many businesses that rely on seafood production statewide. As the largest contributor to the United States seafood harvest, Alaska plays an important role in global seafood production, exporting to over 100 countries. Despite its significance, Alaska's seafood faces numerous challenges in the global market: high interest rates, inflation, increased competition from farm fish, foreign countries that threaten economic viability of our fishermen and our seafood business. These challenges impact fishing families and local communities and jeopardize our state's food security and supply chain integrity. In recognition of these challenges, SJR 14 encourages similar treatment of Alaska seafood by the federal government as other sources of domestic food production, and supports efforts by the federal government to establish an Office of Seafood Policy and Program Integration within the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA. This could play a crucial role in ensuring that domestic seafood is treated equitably while competing in the global market. USDA provides critical support for agricultural products, but lacks in its support for seafood products. Some of the issues within the USDA are inability of fishermen and processors to participate in certain loan, grant, and/or tax credit programs, suboptimal timing of federal nutrition programs, and lack of programs to help the industry develop new products and update aging infrastructure. An Office of Seafood Policy and Program Integration would provide needed leadership on issues with the USDA's programs. SJR 14 also encourages greater federal interagency cooperation with a greater emphasis on various support mechanisms for the seafood industry from the USDA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. This is increasingly necessary if Alaska's seafood industry is to survive those significant economic challenges. Additionally, SJR supports an increased seafood presence in the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, which could help address unbalanced tariffs that result in higher export fees for Alaska seafood than for competing seafood imports. SJR 14 aims to support our Alaska congressional delegation in their strategic efforts to improve federal programs to give the seafood industry equal support that many other U.S. food products receive. And now I'll go off script just for a second. We heard just as late as 2 days ago, Senator Sullivan give his State of the State address, and we heard him talk specifically about his efforts. We all know the value of these resolutions. We've heard from our congressional delegation how these resolutions move the needle on federal legislation to help their efforts. We want to do all we can do to help promote our freedom fish, and we have five great testifiers behind us. That's my comments, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have any questions from members of the committee for the bill sponsor?
Thank you.
Ms. Shane, do you want to go through a sectional analysis on it? Probably not a sectional analysis, but is there anything you want to say to the resolution?
For the record, this is Aaron Shine, staff to Senator Bishop. I didn't have anything to add unless there were specific questions on the sections of the resolution.
Okay. Do we have any questions by members of the committee for Ms. Shine or the bill sponsor? If not, we'll start with the invited testimony. First up is going to be Brian O'Leary with Ocean Beauty Icicle, who is in the room. Please come up, identify yourself for the record, and go ahead with your testimony, Mr. O'Leary.
Good morning. I am Brian O'Leary, COO of OBI Seafoods. Thank you to the committee and the committee chair for having this this discussion today. Quick intro on myself. I'm from Kodiak, Alaska, born to a fishing family. Coastal Alaska and seafood is obviously near and dear to my heart, and what we're seeing going on is truly disturbing as we look forward on the state of the industry. OBI Seafoods has 8 facilities, 2 year-round, 6 are seasonal. This year, we're not going to operate one of our facilities due to the tough markets that were just described by Senator Bishop. I'll back up, and we employ 1,500 employees at peak during the season, especially in the summer for salmon. The 3 major issues we kind of see colliding together for the seafood industry is deglobalization, geopolitical issues with the Ukraine-Russia war, and interest rates. But the one that hurt us the most this year was the Ukraine-Russia conflict. They're taking all of their commodities and they're dumping them at below market prices to fund a war. And over on the side of Russia, the Sea of Okhotsk, they've got huge hatchery production over there that dwarfs anything that we have going on in Alaska. And they're taking those products and dumping them into Russia at below what we think market prices have been historically. Just a quick example, you know, depending upon volume on pink salmon, H&G pink salmon frozen has been in about $1.30, $1.60 range delivered into foreign markets. This summer, when it was realized that the Russian production was going to be astronomical and above projection, 3-4 times more than what Alaska was going to produce, we saw these prices drop to below $1, 90 cents to $1 delivered to the markets. So that's a 60-40% hit, and they're willing to always sell their products lower than Alaska products to get cash to fund a war. The executive order from the presidential administration was helpful, and we think part of the Senate resolution that will help out is getting USDA and USDR to recognize seafood and make sure that we enforce the executive order. Seafood needs to be treated like an agricultural product, like the rest of the agricultural products that we see on the marketplace. Having the seafood office will be key to getting the same options and risk mitigation tools that farmers get through crop insurance, hedging opportunities, and getting our products into new marketplaces and product development that we currently do not have. The other major issue that is also weighing on the industry is interest rates. As costs have gone up, and we've seen interest rates go up, and it sucked liquidity out of the marketplace, because as we see seafood buyers, instead of going ahead and purchasing products 3-6 months out to use, they're purchasing month to month. And seafood processors are buying immense amounts of volumes, putting them in cold storage, and we're having to pay interest rates 3-4 times what we paid just 2 years ago. And that is also another big weight on the industry's shoulders. Getting representation at USTR will be a huge help to help get our allies to wean them off of Russian products and to get our products into the correct marketplaces at fair market prices. I'd like to thank everyone on the committee for their help on signing the USDA Section 32 bid. As we talked about, it has been approved, and it's going to be a big relief to industry. And we look going forward to having your help again on these issues. I would now like to thank the committee for their time and any questions that perhaps they would like to ask.
Any questions by members of the committee for Mr. O'Leary? I do have one question. If the international market is dumping product onto the scene with below market value, what's your secret to keeping in business?
I think there's a general agreement that the prices that we're paying to fishermen are based upon an expected margin we can get. Mm-hmm. And we know that what we paid this year is not sustainable for our fleets and is not sustainable for us. So we're at a fork in the road.
Sure. It's an uphill struggle. Any other questions by members of the committee for Mr. O'Leary? If not, thank you very much for coming up this morning.
Thank you.
Next up is Stephanie Moreland from Trident Seafoods. Ms. Moreland, please come up and identify yourself on the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Good morning, Chairman Olson and committee members. For the record, my name is Stephanie Moreland. I'm the Executive Vice President for Public Affairs for Trident Seafoods. Trident is a family-owned seafood company rooted in Alaska. We're proud of our 50 years in the state. We own and operate shoreside processing facilities across the state and partner with over 1,000 independent harvesters in producing wild Alaska seafood products around the world. I'm here to express my support for Senate Joint Resolution 14. Trident supports this resolution to draw attention to the crisis our sector is facing and urgency of improving the competitive environment for Alaska seafood producers in our global markets. This resolution describes the culmination of unprecedented economic conditions in 2023 that sent shockwaves through the seafood industry and our fishery-dependent communities and businesses. Many of the impacts are a symptom of federal government focusing solely on their role as regulators of the marine resources that we depend upon and failing to recognize our sector as heavily invested in domestic food production. U.S. trade policy has been worsening for Alaska seafood producers for a decade. And we've been left out of major programs that support land-based agricultural sector. Alaska's competitive position in global seafood markets is eroding. Some factors include global imbalances in supply and demand, lost market share to Russian products, high labor and production compliance costs, and market pricing driven by low-cost imports that does not reflect the costs of our U.S. regulatory environment and sustainably managed ethical supply chains. We've been seeking remedies, many of which are called for in this resolution. Our biggest challenges are with federal policy allowing seafood to fall between the cracks of agriculture and industrial goods sectors. The interagency coordination that's called for in this resolution and the inclusion of seafood in programs designed to support U.S. food producers are critical to help sustain a healthy future for our communities. We sincerely appreciate your call to action that's expressed through this resolution. Really appreciate your attention and time today on this. Thank you.
Do we have any questions for Ms. Moreland, my members of the committee? If not, I've got some questions. What are your locations here in Alaska that you have a facility? And are any of them going to be shut down this year?
Yeah, the locations we're in now are Petersburg, Wrangell, Ketchikan, Cordova. We have two facilities. Kodiak, False Pass, Naknek, St. Paul, so throughout the coast and up through the Bering Sea. We made an announcement in December, Trident Seafoods, of our intent to divest of four of those facilities. And so it's not to shut them down. It's that we are working to sell those, ensuring and prioritizing continuity for the communities, our harvesters, our employees who depend on those. So we're truly looking for those plants to continue to operate and serve the stakeholders that depend on them. We're working as quickly as possible through that process, and I don't have anything that I can share publicly due to just the process and confidentiality in moving through due diligence on those transactions. The reason that we're doing this is to really be able to focus and continue to reinvest, to modernize, to improve our ability to compete globally under these conditions, and also to really invest in value added and reaching the marketplace to help differentiate Alaska and grow demand. And I think this is to address the question that you asked the previous testifier. What are we going to do? We really need to do all of that. Cost efficiency and reach consumers with that differentiation and storytelling of what we're doing here in the Alaska sector.
I think I counted 9 facilities that you talked about. How many employees do you have usually during this fishing season?
About 4,500 seasonal employees we bring up to our facilities. And then, of course, we've got strong senior staff and maintenance, and we've been building a skilled trades program in Trident that we're doing out of AFTEC in mm-hmm. order to support the modernization of these, as well as just recognizing the changes that have occurred in the labor market.
Well, it's certainly affecting a lot of people.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
There's no further questions. Thank you very much for coming up this morning.
Thank you.
Next, we have Julie Decker from the Pacific Seafood Processors Association. Ms. Decker, please come on up and identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Olson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Julie Decker. I live in Wrangell, and I have worked in the seafood industry for 30 years. I'm the president of Pacific Seafood Processors Association, and here to express support for SJR 14. PSPA is a trade association which represents 11 major shoreside and mothership seafood processing companies operating over 30 facilities in Alaska. Our member companies buy hundreds of millions of pounds of fish from fishermen, process it, and move it to market so millions of people worldwide can enjoy wild Alaska seafood. PSPA member companies have made significant investments in the future of Alaska seafood, spending hundreds of millions of dollars in facilities, processing technology, value-added product development, and marketing. Our members have also made large capital investments in the communities in which they operate. In addition to thousands of direct and indirect jobs, our member companies create markets for thousands of independent commercial fishermen and contribute millions of dollars in tax revenues to state and local economies in Alaska. Many coastal communities depend on Alaska seafood for an economic foundation. Often the health of the communities is dependent, interdependent on the health of the Alaska seafood industry. As you have heard, the seafood industry is facing economic conditions unlike any seen since the collapse of salmon in the 1990s and early 2000s, except this time it's across multiple species. In 2023, multiple global and national economic factors occurring simultaneously created dire economic conditions, resulting in a freefall of seafood prices, millions of dollars in losses, and in some cases, processors stopped buying fish in order to reduce further losses. Experts estimate that the loss to Alaska's economy in 2023 alone was $2 billion, $1 billion in lost first wholesale value, and $1 billion in decreased spending on vessels and facilities. Economic conditions in 2024 are unlikely to improve. Fishermen and processors have borne the brunt of these impacts to date. However, communities are beginning to feel the trickle-down effects, which continue to increase as more businesses and residents feel the pain across the state. While some challenging market conditions will improve over time, the need for state and federal government action is critical at this time in order to support the Alaska seafood industry and help to meet current challenges. PSPA is grateful for the sponsor and the co-sponsors of the SJR 14 for their leadership in creating a public dialogue around the problems and support for the solutions at the federal government level. So PSPA strongly supports this resolution and the federal actions that it urges. Thank you for your time.
Do we have any questions by members of the committee from Ms. Decker? Thank you very much for coming up this morning.
Thank you.
Next is Abby Frederick from Silver Bay Seafoods. Ms. Frederick, come on up and identify yourself for the record. Go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Abby Frederick. I'm here representing Silver Bay Seafoods. I live here in Juneau. Silver Bay Seafoods and our fishermen partners are strongly supporting the Senate Joint Resolution 14. Senator Bishop, we sincerely thank you and all of the co-sponsors, Senators Bjorkman, Klayman, Hoffman, Giesel, Stevens, Dunbar, and Merrick, for your support of the Alaska seafood industry through this resolution. Silver Bay Seafoods is a fisherman-owned seafood processing company, and our fishermen partners operate their own independent businesses as fishermen, but they also have invested in these seafood processing facilities across the state. We have currently six relatively new facilities in Craig, Sitka, Valdez, Kodiak, False Pass, and Naknek. And we primarily process salmon, pollock, Pacific cod, rockfish, and herring. So we have a lot of diversity across all of the communities and all the species, and hopefully to be resilient in changing normal fluctuating markets. But we experienced a dramatic shift in our markets in 2023, as you've heard from many of the other testifiers, and the outlook for 2024 leaves significant uncertainty for improvement. Alaska is blessed to have abundant, sustainable, and diverse fisheries that are normally resilient as a whole to natural market fluctuations. But what we're experiencing now isn't usual, isn't cyclical, or normal. It's not normal to experience this level of market decline across this many fish markets. You're hearing about the global influences, and this resolution really helps us tackle some of the things at least the federal government might be able to help with. These challenges have been compounded by the rapid increase in operating expenses. Senator Bishop, I think it was you that aptly referred to this as a five-alarm fire that needs immediate attention, and you're right. But this crisis of the Alaska seafood industry has been a reminder of the importance of the industry to Alaska and its communities. It's really brought us together to work on these solutions. The health of the processing sector directly affects the health of Alaska's commercial fishing industry, support businesses, communities, and Alaskans. The situation has brought us together to work on these solutions for not only this immediate survival of our industry, but also solutions that make the Alaska seafood industry stronger and more resilient going into the future. We're working hard to turn this around, not just as a sector, the processing sector, but with our fishermen partners. I mean, they're really, you know, they're gearing up. They're doing all the things that they would normally do to be ready and to catch and harvest those fish. And so some of these factors are things simply out of their control, but we are working on solutions to tackle those. This resolution will help support our efforts by sending a message to our federal leaders that it's important to all of you that we do the right thing to support Alaska seafood and our global competitiveness now. Thank you for your leadership on this resolution. We look forward to working with you, not only on the items outlined here, but actions that can be taken at the state level as well.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Frederick, thanks for being here. I appreciate that you talked very directly about the commercial fishing businesses that you buy from. Can you just quantify for us about how many households does Silver Bay buy from? How many folks sell to your processing plants?
So we have over 600 fishermen partners, and those fishermen have roughly, on average, five crew members. And we also partner with independent tender vessels, well over 100 tender vessels that are independent from Silver Bay. But they also have their own crew members. And in each of our facilities, they're staffed with a lot of employees, at peak 2,500 people. And so there's a lot of fishermen, crew members, tendermen, and their crew that are directly impacted by what's happening right now. And they live in communities in every district of the state.
Follow-up, Senator Keel.
Thank you. I think that's really important perspective. I know that, you know, it's the middle of a weekday and folks have all sorts of things to do. So we're hearing from processors at the table today, but I appreciate the focus on the individual Alaskan fishing households. Can you talk maybe just a little bit about the breadth of the crisis? Are there gear groups? Are there fish types? Are there folks who are doing well right now?
Ms. Frederick.
It's pretty broad across all the species that we're currently participating in. We haven't seen anything like that before. Silver Bay has been here since 2007, and so we're relatively new in the processing sector, and we kind of started because fishermen wanted to have improvements in their markets, and they wanted to see better opportunities for themselves. And so it's been quite some time before we've seen any of the dips or lulls in the market that we're seeing now. And this one's across all species that we're participating in. So it's hitting us at every angle.
Well, I'm sorry,
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I appreciate Ms. Frederick helping us sort of build out just that understanding of just how dire and how broad this problem is. Thank you.
Ms. Frederick, as you talked about this Silver Bay being owned by the fishermen that are there, does Silver Bay itself own any of the fishing boats or tenders that are there?
Silver Bay as a company does own some tender vessels, mm-hmm. That support the fishermen owners.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. And does it work like a cooperative where you have people that are benefiting from, if it is a profitable year?
So how it works is they are independent fishermen that operate and benefit from their own businesses, mm-hmm. but they invest in the processing facility and share in the profits of that company. Sure. So yes, they are benefiting both as a harvester and as a partial owner in their processing company.
The other thing, can you give me an idea on what kind of fish you do process at your facility? Does it include salmon and cod and halibut as well as shellfish?
Primarily salmon, pollock, Pacific cod, herring, and rockfish. Mm-hmm. Not any shellfish at this time. Okay. But we're relatively new, so hopefully in the future there'll be opportunities there.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming out this morning. Any further questions for my members of the committee? No, thank you.
Thank you.
Next person is Mr. Jim Jansen with Linden Transport. Mr. Jansen, are you on, sir?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jim Jansen. I'm the chairman of the Linden Companies, and I'm here in support of the seafood industry in SBR 14 at this most desperate time for this industry. We all understand the importance of the seafood industry to our fishermen, our processors, and our coastal communities. What we often forget is the seafood industry's importance to the thousands of support businesses and individual Alaskans throughout the state. For example, our company, Linden Alaska Marine Lines, moved more than 14,000 containers of seafood from Alaska in 2023, employing more than 500 Alaskans. And we are just one of seven major marine companies moving seafood. Linden Companies moved more cargo for the seafood industry in 2023 than we did for the oil industry. Alaska's trucking companies, its airlines, and its port operators all benefit from the seafood industry. Southbound seafood is about 20% of Linden's cargo volume. Without seafood, northbound shipping rates would need to be substantially higher. Please think about that every time you buy a can of peas or a bag of potatoes. The seafood industry has suffered greatly this last 2 years and needs your help. Thank you very much.
Do we have any questions by members of the committee for Mr. Jansen? Mr. Jansen, can you just kind of give me an idea on how many employees are going to be affected between the marine lines, the airline, the air cargo portion of your businesses?
Well, in our particular case, sir, we have about 500 employees, Alaska employees, directly associated with the movement of seafood. And again, we're just one of many, many companies that service this industry.
Okay, any further questions by members of the committee for Mr. Jansen? If not, thank you very much for taking time out to go ahead and testify this morning.
Thank you.
Next, we have is Greg Smith. Mr. Smith, are you available for questions? Come on up. Do you have any questions for Mr. Smith by members of the committee? If nobody has it, I'll what's the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute doing in specifically now that we've got a pretty dismal looking year for not just the fishermen and the fish processors, but also the people that are in the transport business that Mr. Jansen just talked about, which is 500 employees that are directly related to that. Can you tell me what efforts you put forward or what are you planning on dealing with this?
Sure. Thank you, Senator Greg Smith, Communications Director from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Senator, the 20 employees of ASME, 15 or more contractors based around the world, retail partners, food service partners, we are doing everything we can because we know the situation facing the seafood industry is one of the most challenging that it's seen in decades. Again, other testifiers have mentioned it's not just one species, it's many. We are seeing prices, for instance, the preliminary price for sockeye salmon at the lowest level in 20 years, and then, of course, needing to adjust for inflation on that. So we are active within our ability and resources, again, working with industry partners to promote products in Costco, Walmart, e-commerce. We work with influencers to connect with millennial Gen Z audiences. We are out there being as strategic as we can with our resources to market Alaska Seafood, which is a great brand. It's highly desired around the world. But seafood and Alaska Seafood, U.S. Seafood, global seafood are all struggling, but we are out trying to do everything we can.
Can you specifically tell me what international countries we're targeting for to try and get our market share?
Of course. We're active in 9 regions, 40 countries. Of course, some of the big existing markets, Japan, Europe, and then also active in new markets, Southeast Asia. We've just had a recent trade visit to Morocco. A potential increased focus there due to 600 people that live in the Middle East and North Africa. Again, using our, the market research we have and as strategic as we can in addressing those consumers there.
Can you tell me what your budget is like? Is it adequate? Is it inadequate? With the price of fuel going up, I mean, I don't see this for fishermen. My heart goes out to those men, having commercial fished myself.
Sure. Yes, Senator, I started in June and it has been extraordinarily challenging since then. I mean, again, we know some of the prices, Bristol Bay sockeye, for instance, and the impacts, of course, that is on fishing families, fishermen, businesses to support them. I mean, some major concern and worry throughout the industry on how people are going to pay their bills and feed their family. We work within our budget. We are funded by an industry assessment, which due to reduced costs will be going down. It will go down in the next year. Federal funds, which we do require match, as well as recently and very appreciative to the legislature and the governor in FY24 for state funds. Our budget is about half of what the Norwegian Seafood Council has. Our budget's about $20 million. And for instance, Norway is investing at least $5 million in the U.S. domestic market this year. And with the recent executive order by President Biden banning Russian seafood, there is an opening in the market that would be wise to try to take advantage of. But we appreciate the support of the legislature, of course, of the industry. We work with our partners as best we can and as strategically as we can with the resources we have.
Senator Bishop has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Smith, thanks for being here and taking questions today. I just have one question, and I want to comment and dovetail on Senator Chairman Olson's comment. I believe I heard you say you went into Morocco and the Middle East, and you said 600. I thought maybe, did you mean 6 million people that you were going to target?
In the Middle East, excuse me, Senator Bishop, through the chair, in the Middle East, North America, North Africa, not a fully define, there's different ways to define the region, but including Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and those areas, there are 600 million people. You can get to there for Middle East.
Right. I just didn't hear the million, and I'm hard of hearing. I just heard 600.
That is an important unit in that.
Okay.
In that fact, yes.
So the chairman, you heard the same thing. Okay, we're clear. It's 600 million in your new emerging market hope to develop.
Yes, thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Great.
Clarification, Senator.
To Senator Olson's comment asking you about your budget, and I will say for the first time in my 14 years in the Senate, I think I've been here that long, I was able to go on my first tour to a seafood show in Vigo, Spain. And I will just say this, Senator Olson, if we're going to be competitive on a global stage and a domestic stage, we've got to up our budget, up our game, because in Vigo, you could put 4 ASME booths inside the Iceland booth or the Norway booth. That's who you're competing against. So that's my comments. Thank you.
Certainly sounds there. Okay, any further questions from members of the committee for Mr. Smith?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Stedman.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking of the budgets, I think there's zero in the budget this year for ASME. And quite frankly, it looks like there's quite an opportunity being laid out in front of the state to help turn the situation around. When the Russian imported fish gets shut off, which I think is going to happen within 30 days, there might be a little extension. Thought it would have been, you know, yesterday or 2 days ago. But what does ASME need from the legislature to assist their budget to penetrate this market opening that is right in front of us today, so the Norwegians or somebody else doesn't come in and take up that space?
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Senator Stedman, through the chair. Again, we are very appreciative of anything the legislature and governor are able to provide to us. For instance, the funds used in FY24 to help relieve some of the large inventory of the Bristol Bay sockeye harvest from in 2022, we deployed at least $3 million for that effort, if not more. I'd have to confirm with my other team. But that did, those things translate into sales when you have omni-channel efforts, for instance, with Costco, e-coupons in their, you know, their brochure, discounts and promotions at the store, things on Spotify, just hitting those consumers all along the kind of the purchasing decision. Those things do translate into real sales. In terms of, I mean, obviously it takes people and the team to be able to deploy those and do the contracts and create those promotions. But we can move funds fairly quickly. It does, again, take time and it takes planning and to do it wisely. But we can move additional resources quickly to help the Alaska seafood of all kinds, as well as specific products and species.
Follow-up, Senator Stedman?
Yes, because that's a, quite frankly, a mealy-mouth answer. You've got, my understanding of your budget is you've got a reduction coming in from the processing members because of the decline in fish prices. Maybe it's $5 million, some number. It's not $3 million. It's not $2 million. So we've got that gap to close and think about. And then if we're going to go in and try to penetrate this American market, that looks like we have an opportunity, an opening here. It's going to take some money. And you're testifying in front of the Finance Committee. Now is the time to make sure that the committee members understand the magnitude of what's in front of the industry and some of the tools that could be laid to bear from the state to help alleviate this. So I think, Mr. Chairman, we should ask them to come back to the committee with a 3-year marketing plan to penetrate this U.S. market. And don't beat around the bush about it. We got to get moving before the Norwegians close this space.
Mr. Smith.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Stedman, through the chair. Appreciate you giving me another chance here. We, ASME, did request as part of our governor administration request, we did request $10 million in additional budget. And that was to address the current issues facing the Alaska seafood industry. Is it going to fix it all? I don't know, but it will help at a time that the industry definitely needs it. So, and Senator Stedman, we'd be happy to work with you on a plan. Probably those that have been at ASME and know better could do it on the spot. I'm sorry, I don't have that information to you now, but we can get that for you.
Follow-up, Senator Stedman.
Yeah, just really brief. I think that would be good, Mr. Chairman, to give them time to think about it. I recognize that they have to get the budget through OMB and across the governor to get submitted, and they're kind of in a spot after he, the governor, you know, decides how he wants his budget submission to look. But we're the appropriators, and we're the finance committee, and we have a problem in front of us, and we know it's significant. Now we need to know, without any, you know, lipstick put on it, what we have to actually do to move the needle and respond to the situation. Regardless of what the administration might support or don't support, I think if we have good flow of information, we can make a good case, Mr. Chairman, to get in and try to assist in this in a significant way.
I totally agree, Senator Stedman. Senator Wilson's next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to sort of summarize what I'm hearing today. You know, we understand that the industry has an opportunity in front of them to help some of the processors and some of the folks to make up some of the differences, hopefully in future years, with this opportunity of the new sanctions. And, you know, I know that the esteemed senator has talked about freedom fish, but I think what Senator Stedman is referring to and the hope that we can get to is what I'm going to call Alaska seafood dominance in the U.S. markets. And I think that's the goal that we should all strive for, and I haven't heard many folks sort of object to that goal of Alaska seafood dominance.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Smith, I'm inclined to agree with Senator Stebbins' request that we need a three-year plan. I managed to get this ugly mug elected, so I must be a marketing expert, right? Obviously, I don't actually know much about marketing. I could use the help from the experts on ASME's team to look at how much we could responsibly but quickly invest in these markets for Alaskan fishing families, for the processors. We haven't talked about our direct marketers and our small co-ops, but they're an important part of this industry. And so as ASME hopefully quickly brings that back to us, I'd like to see the impacts on each of those market segments that we can do to take advantage of this opportunity in the face of this crisis. So I'll be looking for the same thing, and I appreciate Senator Stedman requesting it.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you. I just want to add something that we haven't talked about, but it's integral and makes the whole seafood industry go, and that's the employees. We've talked about the employees, but I want to put a little bit finer point on it. We can't afford to lose the workforce because we know how challenged the workforce is already. Where am I going? And you just look at the data put out by the PSPA, and you look at the number of employees. Those are direct employees, but then we heard from every boat typically has a multiplier of 5, right? Those are the people that bring the fish into the boat, the fishermen. I'm glad we've got a ton of support here. I'm hearing it. But what I don't want to see is we got to react, because we have to have a market so we can keep people employed. Or you know where they're at? They're down at the unemployment line. And now they're putting a strain on the UI Trust Fund. And these are big employee numbers. So we got to keep that in mind. Thank you.
Any further questions by members of the committee for Mr. Smith? Councilor Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one specific to the text in the resolution. I appreciate that this resolution talks both about domestic and international efforts, talks about various federal steps that need to be taken. There's a reference to a trade strategy, and I'll forget what line is it. Oh, here it is, a national export strategy from 2023. One of the sections in that paragraph talks about how the federal government has a lot of information in a lot of little places, and that we ought to develop and deliver higher quality trade data and analytics for folks to use. I'm sure the folks in the processor sitting behind you would find that useful. Is that something that ASME could use access to? Do you already have the best data there is? What can you talk about ASME's need for that information?
Sure, Mr. Smith. Thank you, Senator Keel, through the chair. We have good sources of information, but more and better sources would definitely help. You know, as the marketing organization, we aren't making the sales, but it is, if we have that information, we can again be strategic in where we go, knowing what competitors are doing and you know, working with industry so that they can seize that opportunity. So yes. More data is definitely helpful. Thank you.
All up, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, if there's no other questions coming before the committee, we want to thank the processors and the transporters for coming down this morning to address this very serious situation that we are up against, which, as we see, affects a lot of people. So we're going to set this bill aside. And that concludes this morning's our agenda. Our next hearing will be on Monday morning, February 26th at 9 a.m., we'll hear the confirmation hearings for two candidates for the Alaska Mental Health Trust Board. We'll be also hearing Senate Bill 85, which is the permanent fund eligibility and background checks by the governor. If there's nothing else to come before the committee, we're adjourned at 9:50.